Good morning, everybody. This is Jeremy Brunson, Interim Director here at the Medicaid Division here at Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services. Thank you for joining us this morning for our call with providers as we walk through and provide updates for our interested stakeholders and partners in the community on the actions that the department is taking relative to the situation with COVID. Just a few housekeeping items. Similar to last week's call, we will be leaving all lines muted other than the line here in the room. And we would welcome you to submit any questions that you might have to our mailbox. The email address is dhhs.mltcexperience@nebraska.gov. If you wanted to put in the subject line MLTC provider call question, that will help us ensure that we see that that's a question from our call and try to answer those to the best of our ability during the call while we're on the phone today. So before we jump in with some general updates, I do want to just reiterate our appreciation for all the work that providers are doing for our beneficiaries and certainly for our fellow neighbors here in the state of Nebraska. We understand the challenges that the current situation is posing for you operationally, but appreciate all the good work that you continue to do and that we continue to hear about here at the state office building. So thank you. Along those lines, we wanted to initially start with providing a general update for you on where we are at with a number of the flexibilities that we spoke of last week and requested. So to start, we are happy to say that the 1135 waiver that we submitted last week has been approved. We received approval on the 1135 waiver on Thursday. And all the provisions that we requested, all the flexibilities that the state requested as a part of the first 1135 waiver that we submitted were approved. So we're happy about that. Additionally, that approval letter, along with the fact sheet, is posted on our website at our provider page at the DHHS MLTC website. So we welcome you and encourage you to go out and review that and receive other information from our website like our FAQs and other provider bulletins. Second, we wanted to provide an update on the emergency spas that the state mentioned on prior calls. We have submitted our state plan amendments last week. We submitted those on Thursday. And subsequently, we already have a follow-up call with CMS today to walk through a handful of questions just to make sure that CMS and the state are on the same page regarding some of the requests that we're making in our state plan due to the emergency. We are working on and expect to have a fact sheet and some FAQs around the emergency spas posted to our website as well in the coming days. Providing an update for the Appendix K, the state has not yet received any questions or an approval on the Appendix K that was submitted last week for our home and community-based services waiver. However, we do have confirmation email that it's being reviewed, and as soon as more information is available on the Appendix K, we will share it with you on our calls and post on our website. Similarly, we should have a fact sheet with some FAQs on the Appendix K up on our website very soon as well.
We want to give a little update as well on the telehealth services that we have received flexibility from the government for, highlight some of the questions that we've gotten over the last week, and then just start out with thanking all of you, the providers, the associations, the stakeholder partners, for sending in all of your feedback and all of your questions. We completely appreciate the positive feedback just in terms of providing you what you need to help meet the needs of your patients. Thank you to all of you that have been very quick about leveraging the telehealth flexibility, both audio, visual, and where applicable or appropriate, telephone to meet the needs of your patients. We want to give a quick reminder. We had a general question about how do you know which code to use. When providing telehealth services, you just need to make sure that anything you would do face-to-face, that you would use that same service definition code as long as the service you're providing does not require one-to-one interaction, and it's a licensed provider. So as long as you can meet that service definition, whether it's through telehealth or through telephone, you can do that. I know all of you have been informed that the waiver for written consent, or the requirement for written consent prior to telehealth, has been waived. We do want to remind that you do need to document in your notes why you were not able to obtain written consent, and just make sure in your notes that you also provide the modality used to provide that service. Through all of the feedback that we've received, we are working closely with our MCO partners to review the request for additional considerations and look at what has occurred in other states. And we will have further information coming out this week on telehealth flexibilities and additional telephone guidance for behavioral health, PT, OT, speech, dental, and community support. We completely appreciate also our national partners. We're working very closely with CMS, some of the national CMS associations, and working directly with other states to see what their experience also is with telehealth. And I have a specific request for some of our providers that are out there. We have some questions about good telehealth companies to work with. As a Medicaid division, we do not recommend any specific company. We do encourage that you use a HIPAA-compliant partner, just to make sure that as a provider you're able to protect patient confidentiality. But we have received some questions just about the stability of certain companies out in the rural areas. So if any of the associations or any of the providers have positive experience with a certain company, please share that with your peers or share that information with the association so that you can get that information out. We know that there's a lot of complexity there. It depends on the network that you might be using. It also very greatly depends on where the patient might be located. So there's a lot of factors there, but any information that you can share with each other between your associations and between the providers would be great. One thing that we want to highlight regarding medications, we have started to see across the nation that there are a few shortages that are occurring. We will get information out this week specific to chloroquine, that across Medicaid and the three MCOs, we have followed the rest of the states and put a 14-day limitation if the patient was not previously on that medication. And we will require a diagnosis code. We are keeping a very close eye on albuterol inhalers, epinephrine auto-injectors, azithromycin, fluticasone, and oseltamivir. Those are the ones that across the nation we have seen difficulty with. Usually with one manufacturer, but some of those are with multiple manufacturers. So any additional information we receive, we will make sure we put out a provider bulletin, and we will keep an eye on any interventions that other states are doing to help ensure that we can support that supply chain for the patients that need those medications.
Thank you, Carissa. Similarly to the update that Carissa provided and her thanks for the questions and feedback around some of the telehealth services and additional work that we're doing reviewing the requests that are coming in and the needs of the provider community, I would also state that the department continues to monitor and evaluate other administrative flexibilities that we should be potentially other administrative flexibilities that the state could potentially request the authority to be more flexible around. So very much in line, we continue to monitor what's happening across the nation and of course, the feedback that we're receiving from providers. We appreciate the regular flow of information that we get from you all as well. So we'll continue to work, and we do continue to work behind the scenes evaluating where we're at as a state and what the needs are of our providers as communicated to us. I would note that along those lines as well, now that we have received the 1135 waiver approval, we're working to implement many of the provisions in the 1135 that we've recently been granted approval for. Carissa mentioned calls with the MCOs, our partners in the Medicaid program. We continue to work with them relative to some of the flexibilities that have been approved in the 1135 waiver, such as defining appropriate criteria on certain prior auth requirements that may be relaxed as a result of the COVID situation, as one example. More information will be forthcoming on these types of topics through the next week and certainly during our call next week. We also wanted to provide an update on a topic that has that we've received quite a bit of feedback on here at the department in the last week, and that's around patients that are transferring facilities. So we're working very closely with our sister division, Public Health, around how we can ensure that we provide guidance and support to facilities and to our beneficiaries in the event that they're transferred. So we'll have more information coming out later this week on our website around how we will handle those situations when we do have patients that are transferring to alternative settings between long-term care and hospitals and other scenarios. We want to obviously be very thoughtful about making sure that the patients, our beneficiaries, are safe and are in a good environment. And at the same time, we also understand the operational impacts. And we want to make sure that we provide guidance that allows for providers to get bill for the services that they're providing to our beneficiaries in alternative settings. So we appreciate the feedback and the questions and the conversations that we've had to date, and we'll continue to engage on that topic to help provide some clarity for our providers through our associations and look forward to doing so. Additionally, I wanted to share with you all that tomorrow at noon, noon Central Time tomorrow, Carissa and I will be doing a Facebook Live event on our DHHS Facebook page, our landing page, our account. I welcome you to join us live on, and you'll actually get to see some video in addition to the lovely conference call that we're holding every week. So you're going to watch Chris and I walk through much of the content that we've already shared. So that's going to be a great foundational opportunity. If you have any partners or other individuals in your offices or providers that maybe haven't had the opportunity to attend all the calls in the past, we wanted to open up a Facebook Live session to you as well as another opportunity to hear about the things that we're doing and where we're going in response to the COVID situation in Nebraska. So that really covers most of our content that we had prepared for you this morning. I would reiterate, we've done a lot in the last few weeks, but there's still a lot of details to be ironed out, so we appreciate the guidance, feedback that we are receiving from you, and we'll continue to push information out as soon as it's available. So at this point, we are reviewing the questions that have come into the mailbox this morning during our call, and we'll go ahead and do our best to address those that we have answers for, and certainly we get a lot of questions in our mailbox and may not be able to address all questions as they come in, but we'll follow up on ones that we are not able to address on the call.
Yep, so we've had a couple about the dental codes. Thank you for all of those. We will be getting a provider bulletin out later this week just on some guidance for dental providers. And then there was a specific question about public health dental hygienists. That is a very specific type of provider and a very narrow type of service that can be provided. So for that one, we will reach out to those providers directly about those questions. A couple general questions about PT and OT, and each of the emails that we've received in have a different procedure code that you're specifically asking about. So instead of addressing each one of those separately, there will be a provider bulletin coming out this week that will have all of those procedure codes listed in it. Whether a GT modifier is can be allowed for that coverage, and we will address specifically the question on whether evaluation and re-evaluation is covered. As we stated earlier, we have continued conversations with our MCOs, and we are working to align that direction across all three of the MCOs. So we will make sure that we are able to address all of those questions this week with written information. Some questions regarding medications, both that came in this morning and then just a few that we received earlier in the week. There's questions, the general summary is, will we be delaying the yearly expiration of medication prescriptions? At this time, we will not be delaying those. We are talking to other states and following very closely what they are doing. What we encourage is, we know that providers are having to delay the annual exams. With that said, there is an opportunity for the providers to connect with those patients through either telehealth or telephone. And we encourage providers to take that opportunity to do that touch base, and in that situation, have the provider make the decision what is best for that patient.
We've received a question regarding how we're operationalizing the federal requirement to put a moratorium on terminations of Medicaid eligibility to receive the enhanced federal match rate of 6.2% of additional federal money to fund our Medicaid program. And bottom line, what the eligibility operations staff are doing is, we are processing the cases within our system per the normal rules, so that if an individual would normally close, let's say they're now over income or any of the various reasons that a person could normally no longer be eligible. So we continue to track that, but for the duration of the public health emergency, an individual will not lose eligibility, so that when the emergency is over, we will have done all of the work in real time, the entire time, so that individuals who would no longer be eligible at that point would receive the appropriate notice.
So we received a follow-up question regarding the time and location of the Facebook Live event that I referenced at the end of the content that we shared a few minutes ago. So the Facebook Live event will be at noon Central Time tomorrow on Wednesday, April 8th. So you can log on to Facebook at noon, and it's being delivered via the DHHS Facebook page, so the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services Facebook page, so you can watch live tomorrow via that avenue.
Covering a few questions here on dental, we will have specific information out for dental providers tomorrow in a provider bulletin that will give direct guidance on what is allowed through any flexibilities there for dental. And then a few general questions came in about behavioral health, and we are working very closely with our behavioral health partners and have further conversations this week to align and discuss support for things like CPA and community support workers. And we will have directed guidance and clarifications out in a provider bulletin by Friday. We want to remind individuals that you can find all of this information on the provider bulletin page under the website for MLTC. For those that have a link to it or that have signed up for it, you will receive, anytime we post something new to it, you will receive that automatic alert. We do encourage each of the providers to have somebody in their office or their nurse manager, their business manager, somebody that is signed up so that you know when those alerts come across. And if you are having difficulty finding it, if you just go into Google and you type in Nebraska Medicaid Provider Bulletin, it will be the very top result, and you can click on it, and then there is an option on that page to sign up for the Provider Bulletin so that you receive those updates. Yeah, so a question on annual renewals of the PASAR. And what we're doing with the PASARs is waiving that annual renewal for nursing facilities for 30 days, knowing that we will keep an eye on the situation and continue to receive feedback from our providers and look for any additional changes we need to make. It is a very tight balance between providing the flexibility and making sure that that our providers have the time that they need to use all of these different modalities, and then also manage any new patients that may be coming into their facility, with at the same time being able to ensure safety of the patients and make sure that the documentation is there for those quick check-ins to see if there have been a level of care change for patients. A question on the one-to-one in an FAQ. So a one-to-one really means if you physically need to be present to provide the service to the patient or to ensure the safety of the patient, then that service cannot be provided through telehealth. There are multiple different procedures or services that that would apply to. There are some with PT and OT where you do physically need to be there to assist the patient. It also applies to home health or hospice. There are specific services where an individual would need to physically be present with the patient in order to provide that service. We do encourage providers to look at what the needs of your patients are, and if there is an alternative service that can be provided that is allowed through telehealth to help ensure the patient can stay on their treatment plan or to make sure wherever the patient is in their treatment that they don't regress, we would encourage you to look at those. And then to also reach out to your MCOs if you have specific questions on a specific patient case.
We're going to pause here just for a moment for us in the room to have the opportunity to review, read additional questions that are coming into the inbox to see if there are any additional questions that we can answer here. So give us just 1 second as we review the questions that are coming into the inbox. Thank you. So one of the themes that we're definitely seeing come through the questions on the inbox is really your guys' eagerness and hunger to get additional feedback around some of the telehealth guidance and the necessity for that to come out specific to services that I think I know that our team is working on and that Carissa had mentioned earlier on the call. So we just want to acknowledge that we are seeing the questions, and we are working very hard behind the scenes with our MCO partners, and we'll be following up with guidance on those topics. So thank you for the questions.
For some of those questions specifically, just to add some information to that, there is on some of these codes, they are used specifically for patients in teaching. Maybe if we're talking PT or OT, a new movement or a new range of motion. And then there are also those codes that are used to evaluate whether the patient is being able to do that range of motion appropriately and being able to follow what is taught. So it is in general that type of questions that we're receiving, and we're pulling together very clear direction on how you use those codes for those two different types of interventions and services for your patients. There's a specific question about reimbursement, and thank you very much for this question because we do want to make sure that this is really clear to everybody. The reimbursement, the Medicaid reimbursement for a service provided through telehealth is the exact same reimbursement that you would receive if the service was provided face-to-face. So there is no difference between those. If, in the event for those where it's allowable, the patient does not have access to the audiovisual equipment and the service can be provided through telephone, the reimbursement is the same as through telehealth. Again, just reminding that you need to be able to meet the service definition to bill for that code. You do need to use the GT modifier for any type of telehealth that is provided, whether it's through the audiovisual or through telephone.
So this is Jeremy jumping in here. It looks like we've addressed to the best of our ability all of the questions that have come in inbox. I know there are additional questions, themes of the same question with maybe a little bit of a twist depending on the specific provider, and a lot of those questions that we weren't able to address directly on the phone, we addressed either as an update that we're providing further guidance information forthcoming this week. So at this time, we are going to call a close to the meeting, to this provider call. Again, invite you to participate on our Facebook Live tomorrow at noon. And thank you very much for your participation on the call and for everything that you're doing. We appreciate the hard work that you're doing with our beneficiaries and for our communities. Have a great rest of your day. Thank you.